Nullifying our personal interests. Prior to creation, the only thing we can say is that the Creator alone existed. Creation begins when the Creator singles out a certain part of himself for the purpose of endowing it in the future with certain different characteristics. By endowing this part with a sense of its own self, the Creator, as it were, ejects it from himself. This endowed part constitutes our I. The distance from the Creator, which is a disparity in characteristics between the Creator and this part, is perceived as concealment of the Creator. Since this part cannot sense the Creator, there's a void between this part and him, generated by the egoistic characteristics of this part. If the Creator wants to bring the separated part closer to himself, then the dark void imparts a sense of hopelessness on the part. If, on the other hand, the Creator does not want to draw the part close to himself, then the void is not felt at all. It is merely the distance between the part and the Creator that is not perceived. The Creator himself is not sensed by the part, which at most can only imagine how it feels to perceive him. The dark void, which is perceived by the part, is experienced as our normal suffering caused by either materialistic difficulties or ailments or family troubles. In general, all that was built by the Creator as the surrounding environment of the part is that by means of creating his environment, he is able to influence it. How and for what purpose is this done? In order to show an individual that to save himself from suffering, he must rid himself of all egoism, the Creator brings him to a condition of such unbearable misery through his environment, children, work, debts, illnesses, or family troubles, that life seems to him a burden beyond all endurance. It appears to him that this miserable condition comes about as a result of his ambitions and his attempt to attain something. There is then awakened in him a singular desire not to want anything. That is to say that he should not have any personal interests since they bring him only suffering. Consequently, an individual has no other choice but to beg the Creator to save him from egoism. This forces him to strive to overcome all his problems and thus brings further suffering. For this reason, Rabbi Ashlag writes in his introduction to Talmud Eser Sefarot, paragraph 2, "But if you listen with your heart to one very famous question, I am sure that all your doubts as to whether you should study the Kabbalah will vanish without a trace." This is so because this question, coming straight from a person's heart rather than from our intelligence or knowledge, is the question about our life, about its meaning, about the meaning of our suffering, which is many times greater than our pleasure, about the difficulties of our life, which often make death seem an easy deliverance and relief, about our life in which there is no end to the whirlpool of pain up to the point at which we depart from this life completely worn out and devastated. Who is benefiting from this? Or more precisely, whom do I benefit? What else should a person expect from this life? Although each of us is subconsciously bothered by this question, sometimes it hits us unexpectedly, driving us insane, rendering us incapable of doing anything, shattering our mind, plunging us into a dark chasm of hopelessness, and allotting us the perception of our own insignificance. Our solution is choosing to go on drifting with the stream of life without pondering over it too deeply. No one even wants to think about it. Nonetheless, the question remains in front of us with all its strength and bitterness. Occasionally, we unintentionally encounter it, and it pierces our minds and knocks us flat. We continue to trick ourselves by drifting unthinkingly through the stream of life as before. But as has been mentioned before, the Creator imparts such sensations to an individual in order to make him gradually realize that all his misfortunes and all his anguish stem from the fact that one has a personal vested interest in the outcome of his actions, that his egoism, his nature and essence, make him act for the sake of his own good. Since the individual's desires are never fulfilled, the individual continues to suffer. However, if he would nullify all of his personal interests in everything, then immediately he would begin to be freed from the chains of his body and would relate to his environment without any pain or distress. The method of breaking free of the slavery of egoism is found in Kabbalah. The Creator supposedly placed our world with all its misery between himself and us in order to bring each of us to a realization of the necessity to get rid of egoism, since it's the cause of all our suffering. To remove the suffering and to sense the Creator, the source of all pleasure, is only possible if a person sincerely desires to rid himself of all egoism. In the spiritual worlds, desires are tantamount to actions, since genuine and sincere desires immediately lead to performance. In general, the Creator brings an individual to a firm and final resolution to rid himself of all personal interest in any situation in life by making him suffer to such an extent that his only desire becomes to stop the suffering. This is possible only if he has absolutely no personal selfish interest in the outcome of any daily matter that arises in his life. But where, then, is our free will? Where is the freedom of choice to decide which road to take or what to choose in life? The Creator pushes an individual to choose a certain solution. He does it by placing a person amidst such misery that death seems preferable to life. Yet the Creator does not give one the strength necessary to end one's miserable existence and thus to escape the suffering. Rather, the Creator suddenly gives a person a glimpse of the only solution, which comes like a ray of sunshine through heavy clouds. The solution is not death, nor is it in escaping from one's life. It is in freeing oneself from having a personal interest in the outcome of the mundane. This is the only solution. Only this can bring peace and rest from unbearable suffering. There is no freedom of choice in this process. An individual is forced into this choice by the necessity to escape his suffering. Free will is when he attempts to advance further by finding the solution to his previous state, by fortifying himself so that the purpose of all his actions should be only for the sake of the Creator, as living for one's own sake brings nothing but suffering. The constant process of correcting the self and controlling one's thoughts is called the process of refining. The feelings of suffering caused by egoistic interests should be so acute that a person should be prepared to live on a bite of bread and a sip of water and to sleep on the bare ground. Thus, a person should be prepared to do anything that's necessary to rid himself of egoism and of personal interest in life. Once a person reaches the condition described above and feels comfortable in it, then he enters the spiritual realm known as the world to come, Olam Haba. This suffering can lead a person to the decision that renouncing egoism would be beneficial to him. As a result of his efforts, constantly remembering past sufferings and upholding and strengthening this resolution in his heart, he can reach a state where the aim of all his actions would be carried out only to derive benefit for the Creator. With respect to the self, apart from bare necessities, he would be afraid to even think of personal benefit and pleasure for fear of once again experiencing the unbearable suffering brought about by personal interest. If he has managed to oust all selfish thoughts from his mind, even thoughts about the most essential things, he is said to have reached the final stage in forsaking his own needs. In his normal life, he has become used to not thinking at all about himself, in his interpersonal relationships, his family, his work, in all the deeds of our world. Outwardly, he will appear no different than anyone else in his surroundings. In his body, according to the principle that habit becomes second nature, there will be no remainder of any personal interests. From this point on, he can pass to the next stage of his spiritual life and can begin to enjoy pleasing the Creator. However, this delight is no longer for the self, but only for the Creator, for the person has killed all need for personal pleasure in the self. For this reason, the new pleasure is infinite in time and unfathomable in magnitude, for it is not limited by the personal needs of an individual. Only at this point can he see how kind and magnificent the Creator is for having provided him with the possibility of attaining this extraordinary happiness and uniting with the Creator in eternal love. Let the Kabbalah be your guide. In order to reach this goal of creation, there are two successive stages in a person's path. The first entails one of suffering and ordeal until a person frees himself from egoism. But once he has passed that first stage and gotten rid of all personal desires, once he is able to direct all of his thoughts to the Creator, then the person begins a new life, a life full of spiritual joy and eternal tranquility as originally arose by the will of the Creator in the beginning of creation. It is not necessary to follow a path of complete self-denial to the extent of being satisfied with a slice of bread, a sip of water, and a rest on the bare earth, as if to accustom the body to renouncing egoism. Instead of forcibly suppressing our physical desires, we've been given the Kabbalah, the light of the Kabbalah, which can help each person get rid of egoism, the root of all misfortune. That is, there exists a certain force called the light of Kabbalah, which enables a person to transcend the desires of one's body. But the spiritual force contained in the Kabbalah can affect him only if he believes that it will help him, which is necessary in order to survive rather than to perish while experiencing unbearable suffering. That is, only if he believes that studying Kabbalah will lead him to his goal and will help him to obtain the expected reward of freedom from selfish desire. A person who feels this is a vital necessity is constantly seeking ways of liberating himself. While studying the Kabbalah, he's looking in it for directions as to how to break out from the prison of self-interest. One can deduce how great is a person's faith in the Kabbalah according to his sense of the need to study and to search. If his thoughts are constantly occupied by the search for freedom from egoism, he can be said to have complete faith. This is possible only if he truly feels that to fail to find an escape from this condition is worse than dying, because the suffering caused by personal interest is truly immeasurable. Only if the person truly seeks relief with determination will the light of Kabbalah help him. Only then will he be given the spiritual strength that will enable him to pull himself out of his own ego, and only then will he be truly free. On the other hand, for those who feel no such urgent necessity or no necessity at all, the light of Kabbalah turns into darkness. Thus, the more they study, the deeper they sink into their egoism, for they do not use the Kabbalah for its sole true purpose. When he begins learning Kabbalah and opens one of the books by Rashbi, Ari, Rabbi Yehuda Ashlag, or Rabbi Baruch Ashlag, his goal should be that of reward, that he should receive from the Creator the power of faith, that he should succeed in finding the way to change himself, that his resultant reward should be the increasing of his faith. He should acquire a confidence that even in his egoistic situation, it's still possible to receive such a gift from above, which is like a bridge to the opposite state. And even if he has not yet undergone all of the suffering that would force him to give up all of his personal interests in life, nonetheless, the Kabbalah will help him. Instead of the suffering, he will receive another way to navigate his path.